And welcome to AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Hello, New York. Hello, Matt. Hello, Roy. Hello, everybody who's listening to us. Hello to all my friends in Northern Virginia.
What a slow week in sports.
Well, slow for you. I think we played 8 games in 5 days. We actually had a triple header 3 days ago where we finished a suspended game and we played 8 innings. So we played like 4.5 innings, and then we had a double header after that. And then the next day we had a single game, then we had a double header yesterday.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell a story in a little while, but just remind me to do that because, you know, I'm not all here right now. I am so tired. I'm just exhausted, but that basically just means that I'm, you know, I have more energy than only 98% of the people out there right now.
Now, besides the lack of actual games being played, there actually was a lot of news made this week. We're going to talk a
ton of news
all about
one day was all Twitter about Penn State University.
Yeah. There's a lot of going on about Penn State.
Well, everybody's weighing in, you know. I mean, that's a media deal. And, you know, and look, if I hear anything more about Steven Strasburg, I'm going to die. You know, I really don't care.
About the innings counts. That's
no,
what
I don't
about.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, if you know, we'll talk about that later. We're also going to obviously go over MLB.
Yes,
we're
going to
talk about the All-Star game. What, you know, if you're a National League fan, which I am, by the way, I'm a baseball fan, period, but I'm a National League fan. And for those of you that did check out my website and did check me out on Twitter, I dropped the National League and said it was big. And everybody goes, why? Everybody thinks the American League's going to win. Mm-hmm. Everybody's dreaming about the American League winning, but they don't have the pitching.
Yeah,
they just don't have the pitching. They started Verlander. He wouldn't even have played on the National League staff. He wouldn't have played.
Yeah.
They had guys.
Well, he might have, you know, he would have played. I mean,
maybe
he's had
not
a good year.
Nah,
he wouldn't have started.
What's his ERA now? 3.17?
Oh, I don't know. I got to.
I mean, I don't even think it's that low.
To be fair,
anymore.
With his ERA, he does play in the American League ballparks. They're smaller, more hitters. I mean, I get the argument.
Yeah, he's going the wrong way, though. And I'll tell you what else he's doing. He's thrown so many pitches. You know, when you strike out 11, 12 batters, you know, mm-hmm. and people talk about Tim Lincecum, what's wrong with Tim Lincecum. You know, here's a guy that goes anywhere from 160 to 180 pounds off and on. He's not a big frame guy. He does a lot of stuff with his body. He's pitched, what, for 5 years now? He's got 2 Cy Young Awards. Throws, you know, we're talking about guys that throw a lot of pitches, not only during games, but, you know, when they're warming up, when they're doing their work during the week, everything. And they stay healthy. It's hard to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Verlander's ERA here is a 2.58.
Oh, then I'm thinking of somebody else.
And he,
you know who I'm thinking about? CeCe Sabathia.
And he starts against Baltimore, his next start, which is...
Baltimore's not doing bad.
Oh, that was yesterday. God, he started yesterday against Baltimore.
Yeah, and he got beat. Well, he didn't get beat, but they got beat.
Yeah.
They blew a lead. The Tigers, you know, we're going to talk about all of the divisions today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give my predictions again today, and I'm just going to round them out. You're going to talk about NBA because there's been a lot of news in the NBA.
We got some Jeremy Lin talk.
Kyrie Irving
talk.
Some trash talk.
Yeah, some USA Basketball, both at the national level, and I was at the Nike Global Challenge this weekend. And I was also at a couple other tournaments.
That's some of the top high school kids.
That was all the high school top prospects.
Now, did they have kids from overseas there, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brazil, China, Canada, Puerto Rico.
Now, where was that held?
That was at...
Is that at Verizon Center?
Episcopal
High School in Alexandria, Virginia.
Yes, and today...
They have a beautiful gym.
Oh, my God, it's gorgeous.
Well, they got so much money. That's where my wife's father, who graduated from... University of Virginia in 1937. I'm serious. He did. He was like 60 something when my wife was born. She was a surprise Christmas baby, and her mother was like 10, 12 years younger than her dad. Mm-hmm. He was a farmer, but he went to Episcopal High School, and my son is actually named after. Son's name is Davis, and he's named after his brother, his little brother named Davis, who died of. pneumonia at Episcopal High School when he was, staying there. Because it's a boarding school.
Yeah, well, it looks like a university.
It is.
It's ridiculous.
It's like, I want to say it's like $40,000 a year to go there.
Gorgeous. We also saw the Goodman League, which Goodman League is a D.C. summer league basketball tournament. A lot of prospects. Outside or inside? They have both. This was outside. Mm-hmm. It's called The Gates.
I like that.
I love it. It's awesome.
You know what? And there doesn't ever seem to be anything bad that happens, even if they're playing in Northeast, mm-hmm. in some of the worst areas of D.C.
Well, the stadium is in Anacostia.
It's across the river.
Mm-hmm. But it's great. I mean, it's literally as soon as you cross the river. And this was the Nike World Basketball Festival at Berry Farms in D.C. and New York.
And that's named after who? Marion Barry.
Mm-hmm. And
yikes.
And so
who I happen to like a lot. He's on Twitter.
New York had a team there. Philadelphia had a team there. Obviously, D.C. had a team there. And Friday night, D.C. played New York and beat him by 3 with my man Kevin Durant in attendance.
So let me ask you this. Now, how old were those kids? High school kids?
Well, these
Goodman League is all ages.
The Goodman League is traditionally it's a college, out of college pro summer league team. And this was an all star team of the summer leagues around the area. So there's the New York Summer League, the Philadelphia Summer League, the Goodman League All Stars, and. There's other.
So you were set up there. You watched mm-hmm. everything. You interviewed some guys. Let me ask you this: who were you the most impressed with? I mean, right now, if you had to pick one player that you, as a general man, let's say this:
uh-huh.
let's say you're the number one recruiter at Clemson. Who do you want?
I saw a lot of great players. If there was one player out of the three tournaments that I had to take, there's a guy named Andrew Wiggins. And he's a junior out of Canada. And he's the number one prospect in the country. And
Is he white kid, black kid?
He's a 6'7", 205 African-American student from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He goes to Huntington Prep. He's a small forward. He's undeclared right now. He's got offers from Florida State, Kentucky, UNC, Syracuse, my alma mater, West Virginia.
I guess he's okay.
He's a beast. And
he's 6'7".
He's impressing LeBron James.
Is he a junior?
Yeah, he's a junior in high school.
So he's going to end up 6'9", 6'10".
Yeah, and he was at a LeBron James summer camp this past summer, and LeBron was on his feet cheering about this guy. I mean, this kid's the real deal. And he was at the Nike.
Is he playing a one?
He plays the small forward position, so the four.
Oh, so he's a three.
He's a three or a four.
Yeah. So he can sky.
He's a beast. And today he plays for Canada in a championship today against the U.S. Midwest team. That's at 2:30 at the D.C. Armory.
Now, generally speaking, the Midwest teams, those kids out of Chicago, they usually have some pretty good players. Because back in the day, everybody seemed to come from Chicago for a long time. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's coming from everywhere. I mean, let's face it. You know, there's great basketball in Florida. There's great basketball in California. But I will stay with my Eastern Seaboard every time. From Boston to New York mm-hmm. to Washington, Baltimore, you know.
There were so many East players this year that made these.
They have two teams?
They didn't have two teams, but there's like a couple kids from North Carolina, from New York, from the D.C. area that are playing on like the Midwest team and the West team. There was too many to field the East team that made the U.S. teams.
Well, that's fantastic. And we were talking earlier in our pre-production meeting, you and I, which worked out great. But what I was going to say is when we get closer to basketball season, college basketball season, mm-hmm. we're going to start talking. We're going to start playing some of these interviews because we're going to start. A lot of these kids that you go see are going to be kind of household names before too long.
Oh, absolutely. Andrew Wiggins, the guy that I was just talking about, he will absolutely be a household name. Calipari was in attendance watching this guy play, so they're pretty serious about him in Kentucky. I wouldn't be surprised to find him wearing a Wildcat uniform in a couple years.
Sounds great. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back. Because I am mad.
Stark here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Going over a little bit about the what we covered this past weekend with the basketball tournaments. Talking a little about what we're going to be talking about today with Jeremy Lin, MLB All-Star Game. We got the Paterno incident.
Oh, God.
Scandal.
Can it get any worse? They got to rename Happy Valley.
Every time we talk about it, seemingly, we say, can it get any worse?
It's going to get a lot worse. And you know why? Because it's still the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy was one sick dude.
Yeah, he was.
I say was because he's in prison. He's never going to see the light of day again.
Hopefully.
And you know what? I mean, think of all the children that he just hurt so badly.
It's disgusting. And now the whole scandal now is the statue.
Yeah.
And what do they do with the Joe Paterno statue?
You know, a lot of that's media, and you really do need to take that statue down. Because all they're going to, you know, Bobby Bowden said it best. Did you see Bobby Bowden's interview?
Yeah, I saw
Bobby Bowden said basically, I can almost sound like Bobby. All they're going to do is they're going to come in there and they're going to talk about that damn statue. And why is that statue sitting up here every home game they play if they let them play games?
And that was Bobby Bowden, our audio.
That was me being Bobby Bowden. and I got to tell you, Bobby Bowden is one of my favorite people in the world. If you ever saw the movie We Are Marshall,
mm-hmm.
which is about the Marshall football team who died in a plane mm-hmm. crash in 1970, November 14th, 1970. I know that date well because it was my 17th birthday and I was at East Carolina University wrestling and playing baseball as a freshman there. And saw the game, and we beat them 17-14, and that night they were all dead, and it was a sad situation. But wow. In that movie, Bobby Bowden gave all of his film on the Veer to the new coaches at Marshall and said, take what you need. When you're done, just leave it where you found it. I mean, how many coaches today would do that? How about none?
Nobody.
Well, but no, that's not true. Bobby Bowden would do that.
Well, he's done.
No, but I think any Bowden would do it. I do, because I think the Bowdens are, that's just the way they are. You know, they're all not Bobby.
No.
But.
Probably never will. You add up all their wins and they'll still not be Bobby.
God, you know.
Which brings you to the next thing that they're talking about. Not only are some people saying that they should tear down the statue, which I think the statue should stay, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But.
Well, you're one of the few.
But the other thing they're talking about is stripping the wins from when they found out about the situation, when they found out about everything, until, obviously, up to his pass, which would bring him below Bobby Bowden in the win total. And, I mean, how do you feel about stripping wins?
That's not going to happen. And that should not happen. Listen, there's certain things, and I was reading an article that somebody wrote. I can't even remember who it was, but it was a good article today. And it was about exactly what we're talking mm-hmm. about. What can the NCAA do? Well, there's a guy named Rick Snyder, who you and I both like.
Yep.
You know, he's a big old guy. He's had some health issues, but he's a wonderful guy. And he's a sports writer from D.C., and he's been around for a long time. Great guy. Does these walking tours at Arlington Cemetery, the Lincoln Assassination, all these tours in D.C. If you ever go to Washington, D.C., you got to call Rick Snyder. Just Google him. You'll find him. And Rick Snyder said, and I read his piece today, and you know what? He made such a good argument for leaving football at Penn State. And, you know, I think that they should get the death penalty, but it should be limited. And the only reason I say that is because I think that's the only way you're going to really get the right reaction from everybody.
Right.
Now I could be wrong. And Rick could be right. But you know what? In this situation, there is no wrong and there's no right. All we know are the wrongs that were made.
Mm-hmm.
And all we know is there are criminals that are still not in jail. And anybody that knew about this, that didn't do anything about this, needs to go to jail.
Absolutely.
Like right now. You know, and
we're talking about children here.
Even if it was women, you know, that these guys partied with and raped. I mean, same deal. You know, if you know something, look, if you're going to rob a bank and you tell me you're going to rob a bank, you end up robbing the bank, I don't tell the police. I'm complicit.
Mm-hmm.
I am, after the fact, just as guilty as you. Now, I might not do the time you're going to do, because if I go to the police, or even if the police come to me and go, hey, Bruce, we know you knew about this.
Right.
And I go, got me. What do you need to know? I might not do any jail time like you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, these guys, they cared only about the program at Penn State.
Absolutely.
And Louis Free, who I think a lot of, former FBI director, you know, there are good FBI directors and bad ones. There's been several, like four, since J. Edgar Hoover died. J. Edgar Hoover was, I don't even want to get into that because he was a nasty guy. But Louis Free did a great job. And I can't remember if Reagan appointed Louis Free or Bill Clinton did. But somebody got Louis Free in there, and he did a good job with the FBI. And he interviewed like 680 people. There were 680 interviews. Might not have been 680 people. And what he basically said to the people that hired him, which was the Penn State trustee board,
mm-hmm.
was, y'all screwed up. These guys all knew. Everybody knew.
Oh, yeah.
Paterno knew. The AD knew.
And we're starting to find that more with the release of all the paperwork and all the research and looking into everything they're doing now.
Could you imagine if this happened in New York with a college, Columbia University? I mean, if it was that bad, that would be on the front page of the New York Daily News.
Well, now we're starting to. It's starting to turn into the publicity that SMU got. Because SMU was in Dallas at the time, which was a huge city. I mean, Dallas is still a huge city, and SMU is in Dallas. They played their games at old Dallas Cowboy Stadium. I mean, that was not a rape scandal. It was nothing of the sort, but you started to see the publicity blow up. And
right.
Now that we're starting to see the exact same thing with Penn State, I mean, like you said, this is the tip of the iceberg.
It's going to get so much worse. Because you got a guy that, as far as we know, since the 90s, mid-90s,
mm-hmm.
And we're talking almost 20 years that we know about. He didn't just become a pervert in 1996, 98.
Yeah.
He was a pervert probably in 78, mm. 74, 75. You know, people that are like 50 years old he could have abused. And, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, you know, we talk about R.A. Dickey. We both love R.A. Dickey, mm. you know, the pitcher for the Mets. He came forward with his own story this year.
Right.
In his book that he told everything about, and it opened him up. There are going to be a lot of people that write books about this.
It's starting to become a bigger thing in all kinds of, I mean, in sports in general, which is, it's frightening.
Let me get back to Rick Snyder for mm-hmm. a minute. What Rick said, and, you know, he was making the point that they shouldn't lose football, was that this was a crime committed by 5 or 10 or 20 people. And those people should pay, but the fans of Penn State University, the kids from Happy Valley area, the Penn State University, you know, group in general should not be punished because of a crime that was committed by a group of people that really wasn't like SMU. SMU, recruiting violations.
Right.
Everything in the book you can think of.
Buying people cars, and it had to do directly with the players and on-field play.
That is when you kill a program.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, Rick. And you know what? I agree with Rick to a certain point. And after reading that article, I'm not so 3 to 5 year kill it with death penalty. Even Matt was talking about that. He doesn't think they should lose it either. And we were going to talk about that later on. We could take calls for 3 weeks in a row on Penn State University alone. Mm-hmm. And by the way, as far as calls go, give us a call. Area code 240-317-7294. It's area code 240-317-7294. You can go to Facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports. You can even hit me up at Twitter @Bruce Hall Sports, and we'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll answer any questions you want to talk about today. You know, we're looking forward to getting into a lot of different stuff. Baseball, we're going to be talking about probably the next segment. We're going to start talking about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which was, you know, not what everybody expected.
Yeah.
I don't think it's what Bud Selig, the quote-unquote commissioner of baseball, wanted, because nobody wants to see an 8-0 game in an All-Star game. But you know what? That's what happens when you have a league that is better than the other league. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason the National League is starting to dominate a little bit in the offseason. And a lot of it's because they win the All-Star
exactly,
game now.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much longer they're going to allow this to happen because if, and here I am talking about baseball. Oh, what a surprise. It's July 15th. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there's probably some people out there need to get your taxes done by Monday because if you got an extension in July as your date, you know, that's when you do it. Mine is October 15th, thank you. That's when I get my taxes in. But, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I talk about, whatever's on my mind. Welcome to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I got Roy G here. I got Matt, the man, over here. And I got to tell you, when I almost didn't get here this morning. I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. Just been a long, long day. But we're gonna get some stuff going. Roy, let me ask you this question,
yes,
too.
Sir.
Let's finish up on this Paterno thing, at least for now. Mm-hmm. If we get a call, we'll go right.
If you want to call and weigh in on this, feel
I really want to hear what everybody
thinks.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Because let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what we think. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you what we think because we're on the air. But I got to tell you, it does matter what you think because you are the people out there. Hey, how many Penn State alums you figure there are in our listening area? I'm guessing there's thousands in our listening area. From Newark, you know, to North Jersey, to Connecticut, to, you know,
this is not a small university that we're talking about.
No. Penn State University. How many people go to school there? 50,000?
Somewhere around
there. I mean, there's a lot of people. John Stokely is one of my best friends. His son went there.
Yep.
I think his other kids go there, don't they? Other kids go there? His twins?
I know little John went there.
Did he? Well, I know little John went there. He's not little anymore.
No.
He's like Big John. He's big. Big, strong guy. But, here again, it's just going to get worse. And you know what? You get to a point with this, you almost don't want to hear it. At least that's me. Negative stuff.
I mean, it needs to come out. But
well,
I hear what you're saying.
But you know what? It hurts me. It kind of hits me in the stomach. Because it's like, I can't wait to hear about a worse story than we already heard. I'm still mad at this kid, McQueary. Now, I gotta say one thing. The assistant coach, you know, the graduate assistant, Mike McQueary, 6'5", 250 pounds. I see somebody in the showers raping a child. I'm beating that guy within an inch of his life, getting the kid out of there, and I'm taking care of business. I'm going to call the police, and I'm going to make sure everybody knows what this guy did right then. By doing what he did, he extended everything. And I don't think they're going to bring charges against him because I think he's already cut a deal. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
Quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We've talked a little bit about the NBA and college and even the high school ranked summer league teams that are going on. We talked a little bit about the Penn State scandal that's going forward. Now we're going to jump into some MLB All-Star game. We've still got some Drew Brees contract to talk about. The Knicks trades. Everything's going in the NBA trading.
What's going on in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
What's going on in Brooklyn? Do you know? I don't know.
Well,
I thought I knew.
The Nets seem to have said we're moving on from the Dwight Howard, and now it looks like Howard to Houston, although I'm pretty skeptical about that. But Houston seems to be throwing the house at the deal, so we'll see about that. But this MLB All-Star
game. The Rockets could use some help.
Yeah, well, the Rockets can use anybody. But
the Wizards could use some help, too. If you're out there and you have help, please contact Ernie Grunfeld.
Sure
all you guys in New York know who he is. He lives in Washington now, unfortunately. You know, I'm not a big Grunfeld fan. I'm sorry. I mean, why is he still there? Roy, why does Grunfeld still have a job?
I mean,
can you explain that to me?
No.
Vinny Serrato? We ask that every year for how many years?
Maybe they got him at the rollback
Hell,
Walmart.
Hell, they fired Vinny
Walmart,
and hired him
prices.
Back.
Yeah.
You know, I do like Ted, though.
I like Ted.
I do, too.
The Wizards.
It's hard not to like the owner of the Wizards.
The Wizards are terrible. But, I mean.
Hey, I like Mark Cuban a lot.
Do?
I love Mark Cuban.
I love
Mark Cuban because, A, he's got. Don't those guys sit in Lazy Boy recliners?
Mark Cuban doesn't.
They have Lazy Boy recliners, I think, on their bench. Pretty sure they do.
On their bench? No, not on their bench.
I thought they do.
I don't think. I don't know
I'm
about that.
I'm pretty sure they do. No, no, seriously.
The players?
Yeah.
No, I don't know about
I
that.
I thought they did. I thought I read that he bought them. So I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Talking to Roy G., my partner here on the show. Got Madden on the box over there. He's looking at something kind of cool. Looks like we might have a call, you know, if Matt doesn't shake him up. Hey, you know, here's what I want. Yeah. They're just requesting. They're requesting songs at the break. That's what it is. Hey, let's do this. All right. You give your opinion what should happen at Penn State.
Okay.
I'll give my opinion. If I was doing it right now, what I would suggest to do. And then let's revisit that next week. Because we could, we talk about it. We could pretend like we're, I'm not going to say names of local, guys on the radio. But they would kill 3 hours with this.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
It's easily done.
Yeah, But you know what? Why? I mean, I'd rather run my mouth about everything, not just one thing, right?
Right. But if you guys want us to talk about it for 3 hours, you go ahead and call in.
This double shot energy mocha, a Starbucks can in a can is really good.
If you agree with me, you go ahead and tweet me at sportsmancave.com. If you agree with Bruce, tweet him at Bruce Hall Sports. Or you can call in 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294.
All right, first tell me what you think should happen.
I think the statue should stay.
So we're talking about statue too. Okay.
We're talking about Penn State in general.
Right. You think the statue should stay?
I think the statue should stay, I think that there should be some sort of memorial addition to it that will explain the scandal. There should be, you know how the wall behind it,
right.
It has the players running, the shadow of the players running, and then it has that half circle of a wall. I think that.
What kind of picture are you talking about putting on here, Roy?
No, definitely no pictures.
No shower pictures.
The wall from the left should talk about, on the way over,
right,
it should be a timeline of he did this, he did this, he won this, he won this, he won this. In 1998, this happened, he did not, and explain the fallout. Because exactly what Bob's saying.
Just like the Museum of Natural History.
Exactly what Bob's saying. Every single time they show that statue, for at least, immediate time.
So that's the statue. How about the football program?
Death penalty for 1 year.
1 year?
1 year,
that's
and then
it?
You get back at it, yeah. Because exactly what you're talking about, it doesn't have much to do with the players. This has to do with the coach, some of the coaches, the officials that are no longer there. I mean, this was 14 years ago. These players that are coming to the team now have... It has little, if nothing, to do with them.
Okay.
Football and sport is a key healing component.
Is there anything else that we need to tell? Because I'm getting ready to give. Tell
you go ahead. That's my side right there.
So you,
1 year death penalty.
You think a 1 year death penalty
statue stays with an explanation?
A place outside somewhere.
Yeah. Near.
Maybe covered.
Definitely
maybe,
a part maybe, of the statue.
Maybe covered.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a car, like a gazebo, a huge one. All right. Like at the Vietnam Memorial or
something like that. But it has to be a part of that Joe Paterno statue.
Okay, I got that. All right, here's what I think. I agree with Bobby Bowden. You got to get that statue down. Because that statue, who's going to hire the security to watch that statue? Because that statue's coming down sooner or later anyway. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That statue needs to come down. I don't think anybody needs the statue up. I think the statue, that should be Joe's penalty. Joe's dead, This killed him. You know that. He might have lived 5-10 more years. This killed him. Jerry Sandusky, what he did to those kids, killed Joe Paterno. Nobody's talked about that, but that killed him. Mm-hmm. He came down with, I don't even think he had cancer. He didn't know he had cancer until this happened. I mean, I'm pretty sure that he was not being treated early. I haven't read that anywhere. Nobody's even talked about that. So I can only assume he didn't have cancer. And it took him so... No, listen to me.
Okay.
When you become weak, when your immune system is down... Look, when you stress, your immune system destroys your body.
Exactly.
He's 86 years old. Mm-hmm. And he's already got broken hips, broken knees. He's been run over on the sidelines. Million different things. Didn't want to quit. Didn't want to do this. He's Joe Paterno. He's Joe Paterno. Statue comes down. That's his penalty. Here, and plus, it saves the university all that trouble and everybody else. Like Bobby Bowden said, all these people are going to want to do is talk about that damn statue.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that statue up? How come it's still up? What? Take the damn statue down. What Bobby said was, and I agree with you, put all this in a room in the university, in that building, or in a building in the athletic department. You know, somewhere right next to the stadium where people can walk in and see a timeline of what Joe Paterno did and what went on at Penn State. And I think that would be fair, okay? Now, as far as the program goes, if you're going to give the death penalty, 1 year isn't enough. The death penalty generally is a five-year penalty because they do kill the damn program. What I would do is I'd revisit it after 3 years. And the reason I say 3 years is that 3 years will give you an opportunity. It'll do two things. It'll give the guy they just hired who won't have a job the opportunity to either stay or leave. Mm-hmm. If he stays, they pay him, you know, as part of the program. And what he does is he plans on what he will do. Now, I think at the end of 3 years, you bring back the program. That's going to send a stronger message to the entire NCAA community, Division I community, and Division II, and Division III, and, you know, NCAA Division I, 1AA. Mm-hmm. It's going to send a message to everybody that if you got something like this going on, at your university, close to your program, with people involved with your program, this is what's going to happen to you at least, okay? And I think that's a good thing to do. Penn State University has a great history. There's no doubt about that. If you gave them the death penalty and just never brought it back, that wouldn't be right. There's too many. You know, I mean, it's just that is Pennsylvania's team. Now, a lot of people say, well, Pitt's a great place. Pitt ain't Penn State. Okay, you know, there's a lot of great Division II and III schools in that, you know, in the Pennsylvania Valley Conference. They have some of the best schools in the country. Hell, Westchester won the Division III baseball title in the NCAA this year. They've won it 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of good colleges there. But Penn State University should come back later. But you know what? That will let them have time, Roy, mm-hmm. to clean house.
Listen,
these people, like what's his name, Spanier? I hate that guy. I don't even know him. Spanier, the other guy who's up on perjury charges, they need to throw the book at these guys.
Absolutely. Anybody who was employed from 1998 until they need to clean house completely. I agree completely with that.
And it'll take a while to do that because they can't just let them all go at once. They're going to have to, it's almost, excuse me, it's almost like when you come into a program. Mm-hmm. If I'm a new head coach, excuse me, and I've been hired to come into a university, and I don't have all of my assistant coaches in play, and I've got a lot of stuff to do, I'm not going to fire the best secretary at school, you know, in the athletic department right away. I'm going to keep her. You know, even if I want to hire my wife or my sister or somebody else to do it, I'm going to keep the best people. It's going to take me time to figure out who am I going to keep and who am I going to let go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let this guy go because I never liked him and he knew. I'm going to let this guy go because he's a jerk and he knew. I'm going to let this guy go because, you know, he doesn't do the job the way he should do. But I think that all things said and done, 3 years is perfect. Not the 5 year that you normally get with a death penalty.
Well, the SMU got
Didn't they get five?
They got 1 year.
Well, you know what? They reapplied. I think you can reapply every year, but I just don't see 1 year doing it.
They got the SMU lost the entire 1987 schedule. They were allowed to return for an abbreviated 88 season. The school opted out, saying that they were going to be unable to field a team. And then that was pretty much it. I mean, it took them forever to rebuild the third.
They never have
the third
come back.
Season. No, absolutely not. And when you think of SMU you don't think football. But this team, they won the 1935 National Championship. They had 10 Southwest Conference titles, which was basically
Craig James, Eric Dickerson.
I mean, the Southwest Conference is basically the Big 12 now. I mean, it's a little mixed up, but the Texas and the Baylor.
And isn't West Virginia in the Big 12?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and you know what? One of my kids just got visited by them. He may end up in the Big 12. Listen, let me say one other thing, too. One other thing that Southern Methodist University is known for, it's a really good school.
Yeah, it's a great
school. Those kids that go there are very much like Rice. Very much like Rice, very much like Duke, you know, very much like Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall Sports will be right back after these messages. It's good.
Here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
I have 17 friends with birthdays this week.
Well, that's fun.
That's a lot of guys. July. Let me see. What is that?
Isn't it great how technology helps you realize the important things in life?
Like, yeah, like birthdays.
Like the person you went to college with and never talked to again, that it's their birthday.
Yeah, but you know what's really cool about Facebook? Just saying hi or happy birthday makes their day.
Drop them a line.
I can't believe Bruce Hall even remembers.
Blow up their inbox.
Actually,
you have 65 new Facebook notifications.
Yeah, you know
all
what?
Of them birthday.
Hey, I didn't even know what a daggone status was. I thought status, that must sounds pretty cool. It doesn't mean anything. It just means somebody wrote something about it.
Yeah, what you, yeah.
Hey, we're going to talk. we're going to get away from Penn State now. We're going to talk baseball. And we're going to talk about the Mets and the Yankees for sure here pretty soon. But we're going to talk about the All-Star game first. Are you going to send this to my regular email, you know, tickets at BruceHallSports.com.
Sure. If that's
send me to that. By the way, people, tickets at BruceHallSports.com. If you ever need tickets to any event, I don't care if it's the Masters, the Super Bowl, whatever, send it to my tickets at BruceHallSports.com account. Even though that you can go online and probably find me on everything. I got too many email addresses. I'm Bruce Hall. I have too much email.
But
I'm talking to Roy Edwards. Well, yeah, Roy Edwards has too much energy this morning.
We are jumping into the MLB All-Star
game. My nose itches,
now.
But I can scratch it on this thing here. Oh, this feels good.
The National League won 8-0.
Yeah, that was a good game.
King got the win, Verlander the loss, which was pretty much over by the time most people turned the TV on.
And yes, people, I told everybody who subscribes to my sports service to take the National League in that game, and it was over before it started. Pablo Sandoval hit a 3-run triple. It was a triple, right? No, double. 3-run double, cleared the bases.
I don't know.
No,
Sandoval.
It was a triple. It was in the right field corner. It was only fair by about 3 feet. And he drove in 3 runs, and that was it. I mean, it was 5-0 before it started. Mm-hmm. And then it was, you know, then it ended up, they got another 3 runs. And I think they only scored in 2 innings. And then basically the pitching came in for the National League, and they just dominated them. Let's take a look. They only scored in two
innings.
Talk to me about who the pitchers were. First, let's go over the pitchers. Now, Justin Verlander, who I said on my website this past week, and you know, when people emailed me and I was communicating with people and I sent it out on Twitter, that he's going the wrong direction. It was not a good time for Verlander to start any game, in my opinion. As a matter of fact, he got beat yesterday, remember?
Yeah.
He started yesterday, and the Orioles ended up beating him.
The Orioles won, but I don't think he got the loss.
He didn't get
there.
The loss because the Orioles had a walk-off.
Yeah.
But you know, Verlander's just, when you're a strikeout pitcher, you throw a lot of pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Strikeout pitchers don't throw to contact. They throw to strike you out. Most of the time. Most pitchers are contact pitchers. You know, they'll throw to contact, which they want to throw, you know, a 90-mile-an-hour fastball with movement. Changeup is 80, 82. Slider, 87, 86. And they want you to hit the ball on the ground to one of their infielders or pop it up to one of their infielders or outfielders. And that's how those guys, you know, make their living. Justin Verlander makes his living reading the newspaper, seeing how great he is, trying to get a perfect game or a no-hitter every time he goes out. And then he wonders why his elbow hurts in July. Well, guess what? I guarantee you his elbow hurts right now. And his shoulder, because he's not getting people out all of a sudden. And he's not the only one like that. Timmy Lincecum, same thing.
Yeah, he's starting to come back. As we were talking about before the show, he had a good game. His last outing was, what, either 7 or 8 innings, seven strikeouts, 1 walk.
Yeah, Timmy just, you know, it's hard to do what Timmy Lincecum does. He's probably got well over 1,000 strikeouts already in his career, and he's 26, 27 years. He's 27, I think. And Matt Cain, same thing. Now, these guys don't... Now, Timmy has a pretty good one loss record. Matt Cain does not, even though his ERA is great. Madison Bumgarner is becoming one of the elite pitchers, and he didn't make the All-Star team. And by the way, I got mad at Tony La Russa. I'm still mad at him because he didn't put James McDonald on the damn team. Mm-hmm. James McDonald has beat everybody, including Tony La Russa's St. Louis Cardinals. Hello. You know, and he didn't even get picked for the team. Neither did Ryan Vogelsong. Bogey, my boy.
And you're right about Tim Lincecum. I just pulled it up. He's 28. That's a little older than you thought.
Yeah, he looks 17.
But he has 1,200 strikeouts.
Yeah.
So.
And that's
and
a lot.
And he's not a flamethrower by any
not
stretch.
Not anymore, he's not. He used to be. When he first came up, he threw 96 to 99. Mm-hmm. But he had to learn how to get people out, because he wasn't going to be able to throw 96 to 99 forever. So he developed a really good changeup. He always had a good overhand curveball, but he didn't really use it much anymore. He was getting it hit a little bit this year, and his slider kind of left him this year. And his slider from time to time just doesn't do much. And that's a problem when you do that. But Verlander started. Who came in after Verlander gave up the big inning?
Well, Verlander, yeah, he only went one inning.
He got the loss.
He ended with a 45 ERA.
Yeah, what did he do? How many hits did he give up in one inning?
He gave up...
I don't think he finished the inning,
hits.
Did he?
No, he finished the inning.
He pitched one inning.
Four hits, five runs, five earned, all of them earned. Two walks, two strikeouts.
That's terrible.
It was pretty bad. Joe Nathan came in after him.
Yeah, and Joe Nathan is having a good year in Texas. Mm-hmm. And Joe Nathan is a closer. And Joe Nathan has had elbow surgery. Joe Nathan used to be Minnesota Twins closer. He was great. He was an all-star, I want to say, 2 or 3 years with the Minnesota Twins. Of course, now he's a Texas Ranger, which everybody wants to be a Ranger because they go to the World Series every year almost, yeah. Even though their manager will never figure out how to win one. And Ron, it's nothing personal. You just suck as a manager.
you're just not any good.
But you're a nice guy. He really is a nice guy. He knows baseball. It just, you know, doesn't mean he's a manager. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Josh Hamilton eventually will be a better manager than Ron Washington. But that's just my opinion. And he may want to get away from baseball and just spend it with his family. Now, who was the third pitcher to come in for the Mariners?
It was David Price.
And, now, David Price is a stud.
And
what
Nathan
did he do?
And,
he didn't give up a hit.
No, neither did Nathan. I mean, Nathan and Price... pitched
shut
two very good innings.
But it was still five. It was 5-0.
It was 5-0, and that would have proven to be it. I mean,
okay.
Kane pitched two innings.
No, I don't want to talk about the National League. Okay. Let's just go down the American League order. Because these are the guys that Ron Washington picked. And there were some player choices, and there were some... you don't vote pitchers in.
Right.
So they're either a manager's choice or the players pick them. All right, keep going. Who's next?
Matt Harrison was in next, and he was the one.
Yeah, he's a lefty.
He gave up four hits, three earned runs.
Did he finish the inning?
Yeah.
Okay, that sucks. Okay, so he and Verlander basically gave up all the runs.
That was it, yeah.
All right, who pitched next for them?
It was Jared Weaver of the Angels.
Who is a stud and probably should have started.
He gave up one walk.
He had a better ERA than Verlander anyway. Should have started.
The rest of the pitchers, I mean, did good. It was
who?
Chris Sale.
Oh, he's a stud. That big, tall, skinny lefty.
From Colorado,
No. He's
not
from
Colorado,
Chicago
I'm
White
sorry,
Sox.
Yeah.
He is so good. He's got great changeup, great cutter, great slider, great fastball. Chris Sale throws 94 or 5. Who else?
Ryan Cook from the A's.
I didn't know much about him, but he looked good.
Yeah, he did. And then the Orioles closer, Jim Johnson, came in.
He's a monster.
He had one strikeout, dude. Did what he usually does.
He's a monster. How big is he? 6'8"? 6'7"?
I
bet
he
is. He's big. And he is the Orioles. In my opinion, he definitely deserved to be there. Now, did
he? He's 6'6", 240.
Did Hamill make the team?
No. He was up for the vote and didn't make it.
Yeah, that's right. And you know why? Because he had two or three bad outings in a row. Now let's look at the best pitchers in baseball.
Well, the closer for AL, just to finish off the rotation, Fernando Rodney.
Yeah, who's a stud. And he's in Tampa now. Used to be the setup guy in Detroit.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than Verlander and Harrison, everybody else looked decent.
All right,
I guess
let's look at their hitters. How many hits did they have in this shutout?
They had six hits.
Okay.
The NL's 10.
Anybody have two hits for them?
No.
Then let's not even talk about who had one hit, because that's nothing to talk about. All right, now let's talk about the National League. Go ahead. Who started?
I guess if you're going to talk about anybody in the AL, Jeter went 1-for-2, and Trout went 1-for-1 with a stolen base.
Well, you know, so. Trout would have been the American League MVP.
And he's if there's an MVP when you don't score
runs. Did you know I read a great article? Did you get the retweet I sent you on the article that the guy wrote about Mike Trout and where he's from? He's from a little bitty town, I want to say an hour west of Atlantic City, in New Jersey. It's like an old like mining town or factory town, and he is the biggest, baddest thing that's ever come out of there, and evidently he's one of those kids that you dream about. He's never going to forget about where he came from. They travel everywhere to see him. Matter of fact, they were on their way to New York when this guy wrote this article to see him play against the Yankees, I guess, this past week. Aren't they still there? Yeah, that this weekend series. Mm-hmm. And Mike Trout evidently was just a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal basketball player. They said that when he went over the fence and made that catch earlier this year, they went, he did that every day when he played basketball. He used to jump and hit his head on the damn backboard. That's kind of scary.
He's a freak.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's a freak, and he can fly, and he can hit, and he can throw, and he can do everything. All right, let's talk about Matt Cain. Had a pretty good start.
Yeah, Matt Cain.
How many hits did he give up? One?
He gave up one hit.
How many walks?
No walks, one strikeout.
That's what you want.
Solid outing, two innings of work.
If Matt Cain gets through the first inning of a game, he's going to probably win the game. Now, who came in after Matt?
Gio Gonzalez, our boy. And he had...
from the Nationals.
He looked good.
Lefty throwing 95, 96.
Strikeout.
I think he hit 97 one time.
Yeah, one strikeout, three up, three down.
Yeah. Who's next?
Steven Strasburg, another National.
Yeah, now he got in a little trouble. He didn't get in trouble, but he got squared up a little bit.
Yeah.
He got hit hard.
He gave up a walk in one hit, but... No,
then a double play.
He got out of the inning with
double play. Oh, just a piece of cake double play, too, right to the shortstop. Okay, who came in next?
Is Clayton Kershaw.
Who I think is going the wrong direction, too, because I think he's just thrown so many pitches. He's pitching on an L.A. team that's, even though they're just a half a game out right now from the Giants, I don't see them being there at the end. But, you know, somebody's got to be there because the Giants aren't going to run away with it. Mm-hmm. They don't know how. I mean, they know what they'd like to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, that could end up being a two or even a three-horse race with Arizona. You don't know.
And Kershaw, he got in a little bit of trouble. He gave up two hits, walked a guy, but he got out of the inning clean.
You know, he threw about 30 pitches in that inning, too. And I think it affected his next start because his next start, he got beat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's next?
New York's boy.
Oh, no, wait. His next start, he didn't get beat. He just won.
Kershaw. Yeah, they just won.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Ari Dickey was the next guy in.
Yeah.
And they had that clown of a glove for Ruiz.
Yeah.
That glove looked ridiculous.
Yeah, but Ruiz did a good job.
No, he did great.
And you know what I think R.A. did? He toned it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You could tell he wasn't throwing that knuckleball as hard as he usually does because he didn't have his He didn't have his guy back there.
Yeah, he hit a guy, had a strikeout. No real... he gave up one hit a guy.
He did a great job. Who was next?
That was... Cole Hamels of the Phillies.
Yeah, and he did all right.
Did fine. I mean, no NL pitcher really saw... I mean...
Didn't even have to worry about it.
Kershaw saw... He's probably broke a sweat, but, you know, everybody else seemed fine.
And when you score eight runs, you usually win. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm telling you, if you score eight runs, you should expect to win. Mm-hmm. So the National League showed they flexed some muscle. They're going to have... Home field advantage throughout the World Series.
So the World Series will either be in New York or Washington. I guess we can say there with the Mets or the Nationals going to the World Series. I feel like that's a safe bet.
Well, see, that's you. I'm thinking it's going to be San Francisco or the Nats. That's just me.
I'm just playing to the home crowd here.
I think the homer side to be on would be the Yankees, the pinstripes, because I see the Yankees winning, are you ready, by 15 games. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. Go
show on, get paid. And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And we got a couple tweets coming in about the Paterno situation.
That was me.
The CJ Robinson, she says, yes, the statue should stay up. It's about his career, not the other issue. He influenced kids to be great individuals and successful adults.
I want to know if this is CJ's picture on here.
The
CJ,
Thunder Slap.
Send us a tweet back about that.
Thunder Slap. Mike S. says, I believe it should come down. I don't think there should be a statue that honors a man who allowed, all caps there, children to be abused.
I agree with both of them.
Yeah, so keep those tweets coming about
issue. Yeah, because you know what? It's always somewhere in the middle anyway. And I got to tell you, you know, the guy did thousands of great things.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. The problem with crime, real crime, like what we're talking about,
yeah,
you can't cover it up. I mean, you know, if you cover it up, you're just as bad as the guy that's performing the act.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Look, think about the impact that he had on each individual life that he, and there were probably 50 to 100 kids. There might have been more, okay? I'm just guessing. They only found this many. How many did they find? 30?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, 16 or 18?
I mean, it was ridiculous.
It doesn't matter.
Way too many.
But you understand what I'm saying? Those people, what it did to them impacted 20, 30, 40 times that many people, even if they didn't know about it, because it was the way they acted. It was their behavior. It was the problems they had. It was the money they spent on therapy. It was whatever. And you cannot, the faster that you take care of a problem, the better off you are, period.
Here's another one coming in, Eminem Sports Show. The statue could stay as a reminder for all of us to call the bleeping police when we see a child abuser.
Oh, yeah. Or take your big 250-pound forearm and put it through the guy's head.
That was from Eminem Sports Show.
That's great.
Kyle Chichorchik? Chichorchik? How do I say your name?
What is a thing police?
Here's the thing. While he is associated with the crime, that shouldn't be his legacy, and it's not.
Hey, I like Mike. I like what Mike said here. Yeah, he's right about that. And you know what? Bobby Bowden said it the best. He said it the best way. Mm-hmm. You got to get that statue down. All those people are going to talk about is, why is that statue up? Why is that statue up? Why is it? Get the damn statue down.
Yeah, here's another one from
Mike. Here's another one from Mike.
He didn't follow the advice he had given to his players. Do what is right, in quotation marks. He chose the opposite to protect the program. So keep the tweets coming.
Oh, my God. Kyle Kachorik. Here's the thing. While he is associated with a crime, that shouldn't be his legacy. And it's not. You're right, Kyle. Thank you for telling us that. Kyle's always got an opinion.
That's right. So,
and it is the thing. And you know what? But it should come down. Doesn't mean that you still don't leave the statue up.
I think it should stay, but keep those tweets coming. We're going to jump right back into the MLB All-Star game.
What are we going to talk about now, baseball?
Yeah, let's finish up with the MLB All-Star game, and then we'll segue into the MLB because we're professionals.
Well, you know what? The All-Star game, basically, we've already finished up with that, but let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about what went on yesterday. In order to do this, I've got to go in here to my pocket and pull out my favorite thing, which is the skinniest Washington Post newspaper I've ever seen. There were some good games yesterday. Now, a lot of these were late. Astros at the Giants, I stayed up and watched that till, I want to say, 1:30. That ended up going extra innings. And Timmy Lincecum started, and they blew a save. But they ended up winning 3-2, I want to say, in 12 innings. The Orioles beat the Tigers. I mean, that was a great game. You know what? I look at a lot of different things. I'm a big walk-strikeout ratio guy, and if you love baseball, walk-strikeout ratio is, you know, number of walks per strikeouts in a game. Like, for example, Detroit had 3 walks but had 10 punch-outs. That's not good. That's like a 30% ratio. Baltimore had 9 walks and only 8 punch-outs. So I'd say 80 to 85% of the time, the team with the better walk-strikeout ratio wins. Guess what? Baltimore won. And they scored 3. I mean, these guys, that was the 13th inning that they won in. So that game only lasted, are you ready for this, Roy? Four hours and 43 minutes in downtown Baltimore. Now, I could have gone to that daggone game. But I thought, you know, there's no way I can get over there from my doubleheader, which started a little bit early. But I didn't get home till late anyway. The Yankees, hey, welcome New York, baby. What did I tell you about the pinstripes, Roy? It's over. Now, all they've got to do now is play hard, kind of make sure they don't get anybody injured, which is impossible to do to begin with. But they can rest some players from time to time. They're eight games up now, right? Yeah. They're eight full games up over Baltimore, and Baltimore's not even going to be in second place when it's over. They're 8.5 games ahead of Tampa Bay. I predict Tampa Bay will be 15 games back. Baltimore will be about 17 games back when the season is over. The Yankees are going to win 100 games this year. Do you agree?
Yeah.
If you agree with me,
yeah, I can
text us or send us a tweet at Bruce Hall Sports or at Sportsman Cave. Do you think they're going to win 100 games?
I think they'll win 100 games.
I do too. Hey, text us how many you think they're going to win, because I want to know how many people are out there that think this. Now, here's the other thing. Let me talk about the Yankees. Two guys hit two-run bombs, Robbie Cano and the Grandy Man. Two run bombs. Now, Grandy Man's still only hitting .249.
The Grandy Man can.
But the Grandy Man has 24 home runs. And the Grandy Man can play anywhere. I mean, he's a great outfielder. I mean, he does a great job in center field for these guys. I love the guy. A-Rod's starting to hit the ball. He's almost hitting .270 now. And somebody was – who was the Yankee the other day that was – defending him, saying, leave A-Rod alone. He's all right. He's this. He's
the whole New York organization.
Well, they're always trying to do something. But Robbie Cano, 2-for-4, scored a run, 3 RBIs. What's Robbie hitting? .315. There's your all-star. And you know what? It's sad that Robbie isn't playing for a winning all-star game, all-star team. You know who's been playing really well, and I think they've won 8 out of their last 10? The Oakland A's.
Yeah, what's going on there?
You know, well, they've got good pitching. How did they get that good pitching, Roy? You know the answer.
There was a team in Washington.
Yeah,
they got four prospects.
They got Tom Malone. They got two or three guys that will probably start at least one game in the majors this year in the Gio Gonzalez trade with the Washington Nationals. And Tommy Malone, his ERA is 3.54, but for an American League pitcher who's a rookie, basically, that's a pretty good ERA. But they're starting to hit the ball. Now, Reddick has been hitting the ball all year. But they got Seth Smith. You know, they got a guy from Colorado, a left-handed hitter, who's pretty good. Weeks, I still can't figure out what's going on with him. He went 0-for-5 yesterday. They got a kid named Chris Carter, not to be confused with Chris Carter, who only caught touchdown passes, as you remember, when he was in Philadelphia.
Minnesota,
that's right. Well, he ended up being a Philadelphia Eagle, though.
Did he really?
Yeah, at the end of his career. See,
I must have missed that part of his career.
You're too young, Roy. You're too young.
I phase out when they go away.
You phase out when you're not born.
Like when Jerry Rice went to Oakland.
All right, let's pretend that never happened.
Let's
talk about another team that's playing really well that really is going nowhere. Chicago Cubs. Chicago Cubs beat Arizona 4-1, and guess who pitched 6 shutout innings? Ryan Dempster, who you and I both agree is headed somewhere
else. He's going somewhere maybe this week, so keep your eyes out, baseball fans.
Hey, for the first time in generations, people, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, going over the MLB, the games that took place since the All-Star break that happened yesterday. We're talking about how the Cubs are coming on late, but it's probably a little too late.
Well, Ryan Dempster's off the DL in his last two outings, and he would have been on the All-Star team for sure if he'd been healthy. But his last two outings have been, he hadn't given up an earned run. And, you know, they beat the D-backs who are struggling, but the D-backs aren't out of it yet. I mean, the D-backs, you know, they went to the playoffs last year. They basically have the same team they had last year. Their pitching just hasn't been quite as good, nor has their hitting. I saw Kirk Gibson interviewed. He looked really kind of sad almost when I watched him interviewed. He is such a good coach. He really knows the game, and he's got a lot of guys on that team that coach with him that know the game well, and they'll be fine. The Reds beat the Cardinals in 10 innings. Mike Leake started. Mike Leake's starting to figure it out. He's, his ERA is under 4 now. LeCure got the win. It was a walk-off at the end of the game. But St. Louis just cannot seem to put it together, you know, consistently. They'll score 10 runs one night. They'll score one or two the next. Kyle Loesch started for St. Louis. He didn't pitch bad. He gave up eight hits and two earned runs in six innings. But they ended up losing in the bottom of the 10th inning. By a score of 3-2. Atlanta put it on the Mets, unfortunately. The Mets had the game won. It looks like a blown save here by Beato and Bobby Parnell, which it wasn't a save, actually, because it was in the eighth inning. But in the bottom of the eighth, Atlanta scored three runs. And if you take a peek at it, Freddie Freeman went 3-for-4, drove in two runs. Danny Ugla, and I'll tell you who's been on fire is Brian McCann. Brian McCann, who has been in the All-Star game every year, I think almost since he was a rookie, Roy. Mm-hmm. He didn't make it this year because he'd been injured and he wasn't hitting all that well. Well, right before the All-Star game, I want to say he hit like four home runs 4 days in a row, and he's picked up where that's left off. And right now, McCann, even though he's only hitting .239, he's putting it together. Danny Ugla went into a huge slump. He made the All-Star team, but he was hit. I think I want to say he had 25 home runs and a lot of RBIs. But he is starting to pick up the pace. But he went. I want to say he went 7-for-83. You know, right before the All-Star break.
That's a little bit of a slump.
Yeah, it is. Kimbrel got the save. Tommy Hansen, here's a suggestion for the Mets. The next time that you play against Atlanta and Tommy Hansen starts for Atlanta, give David Wright the day off. He went 0-for-5, punched out 4 times. This is a guy he has problems seeing the ball with. And you just got to leave David out of that lineup. The Blue Jays won 11-9. Blue Jays are a really weird team.
Did you see that home run?
Yes.
It into the restaurant?
Yes.
That is,
what was it, 461 feet?
It was, that was home run derby material home run. The thing was launched.
You know, let me tell you something. Encarnacion, Batista, I mean, Lean, they got 7 hits yesterday, and they scored 6 runs. You know, Laffy actually started, and he had a hard time, but they ended up winning 11-9. Cleveland did score 5 in the 8th inning to kind of get it closer, but when you're down, you know, when you're down 11-4 in the 8th inning, it's not looking too good for you. Tampa Bay Rays won yesterday. That was my pick of the day. David Price got the start, 2 earned runs, 7 1/3 innings. His ERA, 2.80. He could end up being your Cy Young Award winner this year. I really like him. He's finally getting it together. You know, he was kind of a slow-developing guy. Anytime you got a big, tall left-hander like David Price out of Vanderbilt University who mm-hmm. throws 96 consistently with a 89, 90-mile-an-hour slider, I mean, and he's got a curveball he gets over, too, and a changeup. This guy's going to win a lot of games for you. The Rays, thank God, got 5 runs for him yesterday. They don't always do that. And they won. Guess who got the save? Fernando Rodney in relief got the save. David Price is now 12-4. I love that guy. Rodney has 26 saves. He could end up Fireman of the Year. You know, the Rays are going to stay fairly close to the Yankees. I just don't think they've got the bats.
No. I mean,
they don't have the bats.
They'll stay close, I guess. If close, you mean like 8-9 games.
I already said 15 games. It could end up being 10 or 12.
I just don't see the Yankees slowing down at all.
Hey, guess who won on the road yesterday? Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not only winning at home, they're winning on the road. As a matter of fact, they got a better road record than they do at home. The Pirates won 6-4. Andrew McCutchen hit a two-run shot.
His 20th of the year.
Fourth home run in the past three games, and Pittsburgh beat Milwaukee. Casey McGahee hit a home run. And you know who got the win? Kevin Correa, who's been with a lot of different teams. He's been in San Diego. You know, he's been everywhere. But McCutchen is for real. What's he hitting? 366. He's leading the league in hitting. And he's driving in a ton of runs. The Pirates, people, are right there. The Pirates are tied with Cincinnati for the league. Cincinnati, by the way,
Cincinnati won yesterday with a walk-off.
Well, they've won five games in a row. And St. Louis is 3.5 games back. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, or St. Louis are going to win it. I'm really pulling for Pittsburgh. I really am. Because I'd love to see the Pirates win that division. There's going to be an extra wild card this year in both leagues. Mm-hmm. So anything can happen. Like I said, San Francisco should win in the West. Cincinnati or Pittsburgh or St. Louis will win in the Central. And let me tell you, the Mets, Atlanta, and Washington are all in. Miami and Philly, they're done. They're both done.
Absolutely. I like the Mets' chances with if Ari Dickey can be consistent. He's been great all year. And July is starting to struggle a little bit, but and by no means, you know, is he going anywhere. He's going to be a very, very good pitcher for them for the rest of the year out, and Santana's still there too. I mean, I like their chances if they can get it together and win a couple games, but I'm still a homer on this the Nationals.
They're going to be fine, and I think the Nationals, barring more injuries, which hopefully they won't have. I mean, Jason Worth is getting ready to come off the DL in about 2 weeks. There's nowhere to play him. Well, who are they going to take out? Bryce Harper? No. Who are they going to take out? They're not going to take anybody out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't care how much money they're paying him. I would look to move him. Personally, that's just me.
Maybe.
I think he's been a big disappointment. I think they just eat part of that salary
his contract
and
ridiculous.
Get rid of him. There are a million people that would love to have Jason Worth. Now, I don't think they'll do it this year. I think they'd do it next year. Why? Because they want to win it this year. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to give him to somebody that could come back and he could beat him with. Yep. Although I don't think he's that good.
But I think those are your two your NL wild cards come out of the NL East or they're either Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, or St. Louis, like you're saying. I mean, it's those two divisions right there
Let me ask you this. In the Central, who do you think is going to win that?
I want the Pirates to win it.
Do you think St. Louis still has a chance?
Yeah, of course they have a chance.
Why?
Because they're the champs.
Yeah.
You know, you don't discount the champs. But, I mean, I think the Reds win it. I want the Pirates to win it. There's a heart and head issue there. I really like the Andrew McCutchen story. The Pirates have been bad for so long. It's always it's always good to see somebody who's been terrible for so long finally win something.
And you know what? They're a good group of kids too.
It's a feel good story. You know, like when the Saints won the Super Bowl, everybody felt great for the city of New Orleans. I mean, there was the whole Katrina backstory there.
No, right.
There's not that with Pittsburgh, but there was the. As long as everyone can ever remember that Saints were terrible, they won a Super Bowl. Yay, the Pirates. As long as I can remember, the Pirates have been terrible. I mean, they have the history of great players, but I haven't seen it. I've seen the Pirates be absolutely terrible, you know?
No, I agree. Hey, the Nats got beat. They're 50-35. They're looking good. But, you know, they only squeezed one run out yesterday.
They struggle with the Marlins.
Well, you know, Burley's good, too. And Burley's starting to pitch. You know what his ERA is? 3.13. And he's 9-8. Now, this is a guy that if Miami wanted to send a good player somewhere, now, I don't see him doing it. Because, you know, remember how everybody, you know, early on, all the quote-unquote experts picked Miami to be so good this year?
Well, they brought in a bunch of names. It was like
Philadelphia Eagles. And Ozzie.
Yeah, they were the Philadelphia Eagles of baseball. They brought in a bunch of names, and everyone expected them to be, well, not everyone, but the people on the big networks thought they were going to be great.
Hey, what's Philadelphia's record right now, the Phillies?
The Phillies?
38-51.
Can you
believe that? Now, they won yesterday. They scored eight runs. And I got to tell you something. Eight runs a lot better than what they've been getting.
And Cole Hamels may or may not be back in Philadelphia next year. They are asking
Well, they're trying to get rid of him, but nobody
wants
him.
Same with Victorino. Shane Victorino. They're talking about possibility of shopping him around. But, I mean, their asking prices are going to be huge. They're going to want to reload in Philadelphia. And I don't know. I mean, they're the oldest team in baseball right now.
San Diego beat the Dodgers with two in the ninth, top of the ninth inning last night. That was pretty bizarre.
They stole home.
Yeah,
the pitcher wasn't paying attention. That's some little league baseball play.
Well, that was like Bryce Harper. Did you see what Bryce Harper did the other day?
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Harper's on second base. He just hit a double. And he's on second. He's wandering off second base, and the third baseman for the Marlins walks over to the shortstop, and Reyes and him are talking.
Yeah, they're buddies now.
And Bryce snuck up, and he sprinted to third base, dove in head first, safe.
Yeah, they're talking about their bunco that they're going to play later in the week.
Bunko?
Their best friends.
Their wives.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing something. Facebook with friends. I don't know. Yeah.
I'll tweet you later,
bro. Don't you play that? Don't you play that?
No,
I love that game.
Don't.
So, anyway, I'm sitting around looking, and today, you know, we're going to come back. You know, in the next segment, we're going to give you our picks for today. Today, there's some really good games. I played five games today. And I know, Roy, you're still looking at some of them.
Yeah, I got it all pulled up.
But I got to say one thing. You know, the Yankees look so solid to me. I like the Angels still.
You almost have to have the
Angels.
The Angels
are not the Yankees, though. The Angels can't, you know, New York, the Yankees are good at home, but they're not great at home. They have just as big a crowds with Yankee pinstripes on when they go on the road anyway.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees love to travel, don't you?
Well, the Yankees, they're at home.
Yeah, I know they are, but my point is...
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah.
But my point is, it doesn't matter where they play.
Well, they're the show. They're the show, you know?
You know, now, some teams that have a lot of lefties that they can throw up there with that short porch in right field in Yankee Stadium, sometimes they take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit is one of them, but, you know, when they were playing there, they weren't doing all that great. Baltimore is still, to me, I just can't even believe they're not under 500 yet. Now, Detroit, I see them. Do you see them getting better?
I like Detroit a lot. Before the season started, they were one of my big picks.
You and everybody else, but tell me why.
They're athletic. They're extremely athletic.
But they're fat, too,
aren't they? Yeah, but you can be fat and athletic. Just ask the NFL linemen. They'll tell you all about that. I mean, they're an athletic group of guys. I still like the Texas Rangers. The Texas Rangers are an extremely athletic bunch of guys. These guys are athletes who happen to play baseball.
And well, the Rangers look like a football team, too.
And Detroit...
If you ever watch them walk out on a field and warm up.
Detroit has that threat that they're always in a game. They're one pitch away from tying a game or winning a game. They hit the long ball. I mean, they might not play the best defense in the league, but they play pretty darn good defense.
No, they do fine. You know, they do fine. You know, like I said, I just don't see it yet, though, with Detroit.
They got a hole to climb out of.
Yeah, you're right. Chicago White Sox looked like they were turning it on. Now, all of a sudden, they're starting to get beat by teams like Kansas City. I can't figure them out. Like, Jake Peavy got beat yesterday. Yeah. How does Jake Peavy lose to the Kansas City Royals?
I don't know, but I would look for Adam Dunn to start really cracking some balls after being the only position player left out of the All-Star game when your team is down 8-0.
He just hit a ball 467 feet yesterday.
It's going to keep happening.
To center field. It went over not one, not two, but three fences there. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back. Reputation she can't mend.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can reach us on the tweet box. Sports Man Cave is I across the way, Bruce Hall Sports on the Twitter. And we're about to give you our picks for the MLB day.
The one thing I'm going to do before we get to that, we were talking about how it's a lot harder for strikeout pitchers. Sometimes they wear their arms out because instead of pitching to contact, they're pitching to strike you out. Very interesting little tidbits I threw down here for today. Ivan Nova for the New York Yankees and CeCe Sabathia, they both have 12 strikeout games this year. So, you know, both of those guys are capable of striking out a lot of people, which means they can get to 100 pitches in five or six innings sometime if they're struggling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're giving up hits. Jason Hamill with Baltimore is the only guy they have that even has 10 Ks. David Price has 12 Ks in a game. John Lester has with Boston has 2 9 strikeout games, but he lost both of those games. Brandon Morrow with Detroit has a 10 strikeout game. Chicago White Sox, Chris Sale, this kid that was an all-star we're talking about, that had a great inning, the lefty pitcher, who's, I want to say, 6'7", 6'8". He had 15 in May. Justin Masterson with the Cleveland Indians had 10 once this year. Detroit, this is your team, Roy, that you like. Max Scherzer had 15 strikeouts in May. Francisco Liriano had 15 this past Friday for Minnesota Twins. He almost had a perfect game. Did you see that game? That was a good game. Great highlights. Colby Lewis with the Rangers, 12 Ks. Danny Heron, who is one of my favorite pitchers ever. And I just like Dan Heron because I like the kind of guy he is. He had 14 in a complete game in May. A lot of these games came in May, which is when what? It's not that hot yet. Mm-hmm. And the hitters aren't ready for the pitching. Pitching seems to be beat hitting early on. It's not until hot months, June, July, August, that the hitting catches up. Brandon McCarthy struck out 12 for Oakland this year. Felix Hernandez, King Felix, 13 Ks. In the National League, Strasburg, his most recent 13 strikeout game, there's been several of them, was recently, June. Tommy Hansen had 9 for Atlanta. R.A. Dickey punched out 13 in a one-hitter he threw. Anibal Sanchez of Miami, 14 in 7 innings in April. Cliff Lee, when he was pitching well, had 12 for Philly. Matt Latos had 13 against the Brewers in June this year. Pittsburgh's James McDonald, who got left off the All-Star team, had 11 this year. Nobody. Jeff Samardzija, guy used to be a wide receiver for Notre Dame, is a pitcher now in the Cubs organization, had 11 July 3rd in a win over the Braves. Bud Norris got 12 for the Houston Astros. For L.A., Aaron Harang had 13 against the Padres. Matt Cain, in his perfecto, struck out 14 batters from the Houston Astros. Looks like Arizona's Ian Kennedy had 12 in a game. And that's all I need to talk about. All right, we're going to go over today's games. You ready, Roy?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm even going to give you a little bit more information. People, if you're at home, pull out a pad and a pen or a pencil.
Or just use
your
smartphone. Or your
computer. Sit down at your computer and go over what we're going on. In Miami today, an afternoon game. Steven Strasburg of the Nats is minus 130 against Ricky Nolasco. Okay? Strasburg is 12-5 in games he starts this year. Nolasco 9-8. Recently, Strasburg has struggled. He's 0 for his last 3 starts. He's 0-3. Nolasco has turned it around. He's 2-0 and has a 0.92 ERA. I passed on this, Roy. What are you going to do?
Miami.
Are you going to take Strasburg, Homer?
If I was going to play, I'd play Strasburg, but no, I'm not. I don't have anybody in this game. Miami seems to always have Washington's number in recent years, so no, I'm passing.
You know, that's a good pass. And my advice to everybody out there is take a pass. Cleveland's at Toronto. Now, I'm not crazy about Toronto, but they've got a kid named Villanueva pitching today. And this, you know, this kid is a pretty good kid. This year he's got a 3.05 ERA. Recently, 2.45 ERA, 1-0 in his last 3 starts. He's got Cleveland. He's got Lowe coming in, a veteran who has been okay. I'm passing on the game because Toronto is not a good home field advantage place.
No.
You're passing too.
Yeah, I know.
All right, here we go. I'm going to give you – I know who you're going to take here. Actually, I don't even know this guy's first name, but it's the Gonzalez – what's his name? Max Gonzalez, the guy from Baltimore. He's a rookie. They love him in Baltimore. Yeah. He throws 98 miles an hour. He's pitching against Justin Verlander, who also throws 98 to 100 miles an hour. Detroit is at Baltimore. This will be the rubber match because Detroit won the first game. Baltimore won last night. Verlander – has a 2.58 ERA. They're 9-5 in games he starts. I didn't think he should have started the All-Star game. Gonzalez is 1-0 in games he starts. He's just been brought up to the big leagues. You going to take a chance here and take the Baltimore kid?
No. I got Justin Verlander in his 45 ERA All-Star start.
Are you going to take
Verlander?
I like
them to beat Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. God.
And give me the over-under on Prince Fielder with one home run. I'm over there with two.
I'm passing on that game. That's just an accident looking for a place to happen. Boston's at Tampa Bay. Now, you got Josh Beckett, who keeps walking out to the mound. Evidently, he's still playing golf. Nobody's giving him too much crap. They're 5-9 with games he starts, and I want to say he makes $15 million a year. His ERA in his last three starts, 6.00. But you know what? Shields' ERA from Tampa Bay isn't much better. It's 4.38. I like Shields here. I like Tampa Bay. I'm taking him.
I'm passing, so.
All right, good. I got Tampa Bay. Roy's passing. Chicago White Sox. It's the kid we like. Sale, mm-hmm. The lefty.
Yeah.
He's 10-2 this year in games that he starts for the White Sox. They're 11-5. His ERA is pretty much a league-leading 2.19 average. In his last three starts, you ready for this, Roy? 22 innings, 1.21 ERA. He's going against Mendoza. It's enough. I have a buddy, Mike Mendoza, lives out in Phoenix. 3.93 ERA last three starts. I'm gonna take Chicago White
yeah,
Sox.
I got the White Sox.
They got beat yesterday. They got to win this game. Oakland is at Minnesota. Do we even want to play this game?
No, I'm passing.
Me either.
No.
Parker though is pitching for Oakland. He's better than the Minnesota lefty. Texas, it's Harrison, an all-star.
Yep.
Last three starts, Roy, 2-1, 21 innings, 1.71 ERA. Harrison, when he pitches, they're 12-5. When the Seattle guy pitches, they're 6-9. You're going to take Texas to come back and get this W?
Absolutely.
I'm going to pass on them.
I got Texas.
Well, you know what? They're minus like 200. Yeah. That means you got to play $200 to win 100.
I have minus 171 on this.
Yeah.
Site,
so. All right. Here we go. We're going to go. Well, you know what? That's it. No, that's not it. I did. I did Strasburg and I did need. Then I went to the American League. Let's go to the National League now. You didn't take Strasburg or Nolasco. We both passed, right?
Well, you missed one day.
No. I missed a bunch of National League.
Well, I got an AL game.
I'm looking.
I got the Yankees. I got Nova and the Yankees.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't hit that. Well, I got to have Nova. 13-4. But, you know, he's going against one of the – actually, Weaver.
Weaver's good.
It leads the American League in ERA.
That's fine.
1.96. They're 10-1. He's 10-1 this year. You going to take Nova?
Absolutely.
I'm passing on the game.
Give me Nova.
I'm passing on the game. All right. New York Mets. Santana.
Hey.
Yeah. He's 1-2, last three starts, 4.34 ERA. A lot of that is that one game after his big one that he blew up. He's going against Sheets from Atlanta, who has not seen anybody this year. He's somebody they called up from Gwinnett County to start the game. I'm going to pass on that game.
Are you going to take the Mets? If I had to play it, I'd take the Mets.
Atlanta's tough to beat.
I know, but I don't.
It's going to be 102, and it's going to be humid.
I just don't see the Mets getting swept here. So.
All right, I hear you. Pittsburgh is at Milwaukee. We got Burnett, who's an ex-Yankee.
Yep.
He's 2-0 his last three starts, but his ERA is 5.50. What does that tell you? Tells you the Pirates have been hitting the baseball.
Yep.
Okay? He's going up against Gallardo from Milwaukee, who is 1-1 his last three starts, 1.45. You know, I'm going to take Pittsburgh here.
Me too, especially because they're plus 135.
Well, yeah, and they are. They're a dog, and if you like them, and they're a dog, take them.
Give me the Buccos.
Absolutely. Here we go. Arizona is at Chicago. The Chicago Cubs are hot right now.
Yeah.
As hot as they're going to get.
Yeah.
Garza is pitching. Last three starts, not real good, mm-hmm. but they've got a pretty flat Arizona team. Cahill looked pretty good his last time out. He's 7-7 this year, 3.64. I'm passing on the game.
I don't like the game.
All right, I don't blame you. There's a lot of games I don't like, but I have five picks. Philly is at Colorado. Philly just won yesterday out there. Okay, it's Cole Hamels. If they're going to get rid of him, he better have a good game today. Mm. 11-6 record when he starts, 10-4 this year. He's 0-1 his last three starts, 3.00 ERA. He's going against Pomerantz, a rookie lefty who was like a number one draft choice a couple years ago. I'm going to pass on the game.
If I had to pick, I'd take Philadelphia. The fact they're going for a sweep kind of bothers me, but I mean, I'm passing, but if you got to twist my arm, I'm taking Philly.
All right. Well, the next game is – I'm passing on it too. Houston's at San Francisco. Bud Norris has a history against San Francisco until this year. It was very good. This year, they're hammering him. I think Melky's made a big difference. He really has.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Kane.
Me too.
In San Francisco.
Me too.
All right. We're going to come back in a minute and finish this. For the first time in generations, people, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Finishing up with our picks here, we're going to talk a little bit about the Jeremy Lin and Knicks trades going down, the Drew Brees contract. But let's finish up with our MLB picks here.
Hey, speaking of the Knicks, or the word Knicks, I just had a major turnoff. I went from listening to Stevie Nicks and thinking all kinds of things in my mind, and then seeing you.
Thank
going
you.
Into this thing. It was like...
I would appreciate it if you kept me out of any of your Stevie Nicks.
I went from
thoughts.
A to Z really fast, Roy. Hey, you're good looking for a guy, but you're not my type.
Well, thank you.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, hey.
Absolutely not. I'm, hey, if I was in prison for 50 years, I'd love to have you
well,
as
no,
a roommate.
No, thank you. No, thank you. But appreciate it.
All right, here we
I
go.
Guess.
Let's go over thank these you. Last two games. Hey, you know, remember Marquis? Remember when Marquis pitched for the Nats?
I tried to forget.
And they were paying him like $10 million a year when he
his
came.
His face
when he came,
and everything, yeah.
He was terrible. Well, he's still terrible. nothing's changed. Evidently, they can't get rid of this guy. He must have like, well, he's playing for San Diego, so that's why he's got a job. They play at 4 o'clock this afternoon Eastern time, which, you know, it's 1 o'clock. In Los Angeles, they're at the Dodgers. I'm pulling for San Diego because I hate the Dodgers, even worse than San Diego. Marquis is 0-2, his last three starts, 6.23 ERA. Going against Billingsley, who you got to think there's more incentive for the Dodgers to win than San Diego.
Yeah.
But San Diego stole home last night.
Dodgers got embarrassed. That's why I have the Dodgers.
All right. You taking the Dodgers?
Yeah.
I got them too. St. Louis is at Cincinnati. God, Homer Bailey is trying to win another game. Homer Bailey's been average this year. He's 7-6 with a 4.14 ERA. He's 9-8 in games that he starts. Unfortunately for him, he's going against Westbrook of St. Louis, who just recently came back from the DL this year against Cincinnati. Westbrook hasn't given up an earned run in 7 innings. I'm going to pass because Cincinnati needs to win this game. St. Louis needs to win it worse, but I'm going to pass on the game. How about you, Roy? What are you going to do?
I don't want it. No, leave me alone. Leave that game
all
alone.
Right.
Not leave me alone.
Hey.
Not leave me alone. Leave that game alone. I'm
all right.
Sorry.
All right, you got it. And the wild card standings, just so everybody knows right now.
That came out wrong.
Pittsburgh Pirates and the Atlanta Braves, as it stands right now, would be the wild cards. The Dodgers would be a half game out. The New York Mets would be 2.5 games back of the wild card. St. Louis, 2.5 games back. Arizona and Miami, 6. Milwaukee, 6.5. And then you get down to the worst teams in baseball. Philly, Chicago, Colorado, San Diego, and Houston. Good luck to all those damn teams at the end of that we just discussed.
This just in, Jason Hamill of the Orioles.
Did he send us a tweet?
As Ken Rosenthal is reporting that Hamill will get surgery tomorrow night on his knee, and will roughly be out for 4 weeks. So that's a big blow for the Baltimore Orioles.
Did he hurt that after everything? I think he must have hurt. No, I mean, because he was up for being voted in. Mm-hmm. He must have hurt it his last start.
Yeah, he must have hurt that recently. Hey, or it just wasn't had something that hasn't really been talked about.
Hey, the Rockland Boulders today at 4:30 is for the pregame on WFAS AM 1230. First pitch at 5 o'clock. That's 4:30 for the pregame show, 5 o'clock for the first pitch. Should be a heck of a game. Boulders are playing better.
Yeah, they've been Boulders, hot recently.
Hey, let me tell you something. I like the Boulders. I can't wait to get up there.
I want a hat.
I'm going to buy all kinds of stuff when I get up there. I got so much stuff when it comes to stuff like that. Hey, what are we going to talk about? Because we just have a few minutes left.
Yeah. And that pregame show, by the way, is held by the guys who come on right before us.
I like those guys.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they are good.
So Jeremy Lin.
Hopefully we get to meet him. They can show us, like, you know, where all the
buy me a hat.
We're all the really cool places to go are when we get up there. If they don't mind being seen with an old man and a little guy,
a hip kid.
You are a pretty hip kid.
Little kid.
Maybe you can get a DJ gig while we're up there.
No, I don't want that.
No, that would be fun.
Jeremy Lin.
I can dance.
Has been
karaoke club.
Has signed an offer from the Houston Rockets.
He did sign it.
3-year, $25 million. Now this, the first, all first reports was that this contract was going to be a 4-year, $28-29 million. That's what we were reporting on last weekend.
What happened?
Well, this is a very smart move financially for the Houston Rockets to go about, because this brings against the salary cap to the Knicks for right. Lin. So now the Knicks saying, oh, well, we'll sign anything. Now it's, oh, well, that was a smart move there, because now that's putting us up against the cap that third year, and they would have to pay a couple penalties. So it's looking more and more like Lin is going to end up a Rocket, especially because Raymond Felton, a former Knick.
He's a good player, too.
Was just part of a sign-and-trade.
What did he get, $10 million for 3 years for
Portland.
$10 million?
And it has the Knicks sending Jared Jeffries and Dan Gadzurek, and a 2016 second-round draft pick to the Blazers for Felton and another former Knick, Kurt Thomas. So the Knicks are getting back the players which they gave up a few years ago.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, that was all about Felton, though, right?
Yes, this is all Felton.
So the other guys are just kind of going to sit on the bench anyway for the most part, right?
Well,
I mean, are they going to play, any of these guys?
I mean,
we still got the same problem.
This was
we got Stoudemire, right?
Yeah, there's still a Stoudemire contract.
What's the deal with that?
They paid way too much. Now the guy's got a bad back, and
are they barely going to make the playoffs again next year?
Well, they've made some moves. There's no question about it. They needed a point.
Can they still beat the Wizards?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm just kidding.
They're still a good basketball team.
Well, they got that going for them.
I liked them last year with Carmelo and Stoudemire and Jeremy Lin.
There was a time
Lin.
When it looked like they weren't going to lose for a while.
Mm-hmm. But
now they still got the kid from New Jersey. He's got all the money. His dad's got a great job that went away and he came back. He's like the two guard that can shoot and go to the basket.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. He seems to be really the wild card in how the Knicks do next year. And I got to tell you, J.R. Smith has so much talent, you know. I mean, there were games this year he looked like he was an all-star. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I mean,
he fires it up from like 28, 30 feet, and it's nothing but net.
He's good. And Landry Fields is another guy who it doesn't look like he's going to be back with the Knicks. The Knicks had the right to offer what he
and
was
they
getting
did, and
it doesn't it looks like they're not it looks like they're not so Landry Fields it looks like he's off to I believe it's Toronto and now it looks like Lin's going to be off to Houston unless something happens. I believe they have until tomorrow. There was some mix up with the paperwork that Houston's trying to get it to the Knicks, saying here, you know, here's what's going on, and apparently there was some problems in it getting delivered to the Knicks front office. Which I feel like it was this. The Knicks were trying to push this away to see if they can get Felton back, to see if they really needed to match this offer. Absolutely.
Which is what they all do.
And there's still a slight possibility, very small possibility, especially with Landry Fields contract. It doesn't look like the Knicks are going to pick that up. That Lynn could be back.
Is there an expiration date to all this?
Monday.
Okay.
Really is the Lynn
tomorrow.
Expiration. Tomorrow.
Is there like at midnight?
I don't know the
exact
time.
It'd be great to find out because there should be some early news on it anyway. Hey, you know, the Knicks, you're right. I mean, the Stoudemire contract really ties their hands, doesn't it? Because he's basically making what two really good players should make. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean,
with his talent.
It's going to be tough decision-making with this Jeremy Lin because, like I said, they're going to be up against their cap and they're going to have to pay a fine to bring him in. Now, the fine's really not a big deal because if you bring Lin back in, if he competes and if he plays to the level that he was at last year, there is that Lin sanity. We are in New York, you know, they are in New York City. There is tons and tons of money that can be made selling merchandise, Lin City, you know, anything. I mean, Lin became a huge name last year. So bringing him back, that fine will basically pay for itself by having Lin back. Now, then you're going to have to run the fact that you would have 3 point guards on your squad because Jason Kidd is now a Knick and Raymond Felton is again a Knick. So
let me ask you this. Can the Knicks exist with Felton and Jeremy Lin?
Yes.
On the same squad.
Can they exist?
You
Absolutely.
Know what? How can they not bring him back? This kid did so much for this team just from a financial standpoint with all the sales. I mean, the fans love him, right?
Right.
Will Leach writes on Twitter, you know, who's a writer up there, repeating what I said last night, Knicks letting Lin go for nothing. Fan reaction is just a big, fat, welcoming gift to the Brooklyn Nets. Basically, what they're saying is if they don't bring Lin back, everybody's going to go to Brooklyn and watch him play. Not everybody, but, you know, the walk-ups.
Well,
the walk-up people, the young people.
The Nets
people
is a hot team.
Season tickets.
Exactly. Yeah. The Nets is a hot team right now. And, I mean, we got even Dwight Howard down in Orlando is saying, I want to be in Brooklyn. I mean, Brooklyn they're in Brooklyn. They're a hot new move there. They're going to have a new stadium. Jay-Z is a partial owner. I love their jerseys, for one. A lot of people say they're plain. I think they're clean cut. I like them a lot, the black and white. They got D. Williams, you know, who's arguably one of the top 5 point guards in the league. They're going
to
be good.
Well, that kid is good. I got to see him play this year. I mean, you know, the Nets were good at times. I mean,
they're decent.
They didn't have a great team.
No.
But you know what? They were exciting to watch because they played decent defense.
Yeah.
And they played hard. And, you know, that's all you can ask for. And I got to say this. The Knicks played great once they got Woodson in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, didn't you think he did a great job?
Yeah.
And he deserved
the
job?
Yes, I mean, the Knicks
What did he
really
sign, a 3-year
around.
Deal? He signed a 3-year deal? I think he did. Let me ask, this is just in from Kenny Rosenthal, the guy with the bow tie, who's pretty goofy looking, but I like Kenny. From late last night, the D-backs Justin Upton can be sent to the Oakland Athletics without his permission, and it's not a crazy idea.
Hmm.
So, you know, they're talking about moving Justin Upton out of there and getting some, and you know what? Oakland did get a ton of guys, you know, from the Nets in the Gio Gonzalez trade. So maybe a lot of that stuff's going to come back to Arizona. You know, maybe a starter. You know, they really do need pitching. But getting back to basketball.
And Joe Johnson, who recently signed with the Nets as well, he's out there talking smack to add to what you're talking about with the kids jumping over the Nets. If Lin doesn't get signed, which, I mean, there is the history with the Knicks. The Knicks are a historic basketball team. Brooklyn is the new guys in town, so I don't know if the old guys, you know, the season ticket holders are going to hop, but the young kids could. Joe Johnson says that they're the best team in New York. Controversy there. He also says that the backcourt is better than the Lakers. So, the Nets are going to be good. It's brewing up a rivalry in New York, but speaking of contracts and players moving and staying in cities, Drew Brees signs a 5-year, $100 million contract, $60 million guaranteed to stay in Nollins and remain a Saint, making him the highest. This is the highest contract in NFL history with a $60 million guaranteed. So now it looks like everyone was saying, why don't you get it done? Why don't you get it done? Why is it taking so long? Now we see why it took so long, because this contract is monstrous. So,
by the way, guess who's out for several days? Ian Desmond. Must have got hurt last night in that 2-1 loss. That's sad. That's sad to think about. It looks like Danny Espinosa is going to start at short, and Steve Lombardozzi will be at second base. They're only going to put Lombo at shortstop if it's only one day, but it looks like it's going to be several days for him. It's been a great show.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot of stuff. You know, you can still read. You need to follow us both on Twitter at Bruce Hall Sports and at Sports Man Cave. You know, we're looking forward to coming back next week and being with you guys. You've been listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Have a great day.
See the paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walked on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor.